This month's globe offering will be going for hearing aids. You heard that, huh? I think we'll have time to sing another psalm or song of choice, but I'm going to put this one on Brother Glenn to be thinking about what, if Gail was here, she would choose. And if you don't know what she would choose, then while I'm teaching, you can go ahead and text her, say, what song do you want us to sing? And so if she was here, she would love to be here, amen? And we remember her in prayer every week. And but she's having areas where she can't come out. So be thinking about that. Oh, he's going to text her. That's the wise thing to do. While he's doing that, let's turn to Ephesians 5. Very briefly, I want to challenge you with a very brief thought here. And we're taking time on this month that has five Sundays in it to sing some great hymns, excellent choices. I don't think that there was a bad choice that was selected. Amen. They were all great, great songs and great testimonies for why you chose them as well. It'd be interesting, as I sit up here, I watch everybody else, and I think, well, I wonder what she would have chose or what he would have chose if they would have chose one. And Ephesians 5, I want you to look with me here concerning music here. And it says here in chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." As Paul penned these words down here, as the Holy Spirit moved upon him to write these, mine has it beginning back in verse number 8. It has the little titles above it that's not inspired, but mine says, "Walk as children of light." And God was moving upon Paul to pen these words here as to what the normal Christian life looks like. This is not something like we're supposed to be, you know, hoping to attain this. This is something that we should be at already and should be a daily part of our mindset. And look at it again, verse 18. What is the Christian life? He says that we are not to be drunk with wine, but whereas in excess, he said we are to be filled with the Spirit every single day. And evidence of that is that we will be speaking to ourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. We will be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And out of that will flow a giving of thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a natural flow that when we are filled with the Spirit, it ends with us being thankful. But it's everything that takes place in between as well should be what's taking place every single day with you and with me. And I have to sadly say that it's not always accurate for me. There's times that I'm not as thankful as I should be, and I can go back and trace it that I don't have a song in my heart. When I was pastoring at Fair Park, we had a family that of four sisters that cleaned the church. And one of them, they all were, I would say, Spirit-filled most of the time. And one of them in particular, the oldest, she was the oldest of, I think, of 11 or 12 children. And I enjoyed when she was there cleaning the church. I would be in my study, my door would be open, and wherever she was, you knew where she would be in the church because you would hear singing. She was singing, she had a beautiful voice, always rejoicing in the Lord. And she wasn't some great well-known preacher. She was somebody that was taking time to clean and wash the urinals and all the bathrooms and yet she had a song in her heart, not because of her occupation in life. She had other things that she did, but because of her position in life as a child of God. And I think that's so vital for us that to remember that the Christian life is actually a very simple thing to be lived out if we'll let God live it through us. Amen? And that's what it boils down to. But I want us to zero in on some areas here because we're doing a lot of area of singing today, and these are what I would call, as we select these hymns, songs of the Spirit. And music has always been a part of worship with God's people. There has not been a time when God's people have gathered together where they did not worship. They sang about many, many things. You can go all the way back to the book of Exodus, and in Exodus chapter 15, you'll have where Israelites have crossed the Red Sea, they've turned around, they've seen the enemy approaching them, and God speaks to Moses as he looks out of the pillar of the fire in the morning, and he troubles the chariot wheels, and they collapse, and they realize that the God of Israel is fighting for them, and God simply says to Moses, "Stretch out thy rod," and we know that the waters came down, and they saw their faces no more. But after that followed great singing. It was actually led by Miriam with a timbrel in her hand, and she would go around dancing and singing about the great victory that God had given them over the horse and the rider that he cast into the sea. And as she was triggered to do that, the scriptures tell us that all the women grabbed themselves timbrels and began to sing and to dance in their worship to what God had done. And I just think that we think of David. King David was always as a shepherd playing on his harp, and I think he sang the Psalms to the Lord. I think he was in a spirit of personal worship, whether it's a great congregation as Israel or what's David by himself as a shepherd or a king, he sang his psalms. And then in Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus knows he's getting ready to go to Calvary and he's getting ready to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, we just sang the song, "We Come to the Garden Alone." As they break bread and institute the Lord's Supper, the Bible says they went out and they sang a hymn. So we see that Jesus was a part. I would love to hear Jesus' voice. Amen. Would you like to hear Jesus singing and blending his voice in with yours? The disciples heard that. And one day we will be singing, the Bible calls it, in the great congregation. Amen. And we'll be worshiping there. And there will be plenty of music because music will be a part of heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, and I didn't write this verse down, but I want to read it real quick. In Revelation chapter 5, listen to what it says in verse number 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." There's going to be singing in heaven. We're all going to join in as one voice to thank God for the shed blood. By the way, they're still singing about the blood in heaven. Amen. The redemption of God's people. And so we just see that there's all kinds of music that God brings in, whether it's congregational there or individual worship. God uses every aspect. And here in Ephesians, he talks about three areas of music in particular. He talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I want you to see a couple things here very quickly here, and then we'll close out with another choice selection from somebody. Actually, Gail, did you get it from her already? Good. Boy, she responded back quickly. First thing I want you to see here is that the songs of the Spirit have a great variety. The songs of the Spirit have great variety. Look what he says in verse number 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We talk about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in this area under the direction of God's Holy Spirit. Now, hymns, when we think about the hymns, they are usually songs of worship. They have a testimony of what God's done for us. They get into the area of worship, whether it's personal worship. They get into the areas of invitation. We sang a hymn, "I Surrender All." It's a hymn of invitation. So we see that the hymns are usually along those lines. They have an idea that they usually are going in a vertical direction from us to Godward, ultimately, is where they're heading to. But spiritual songs include a wide variety of things. We have the psalms that are going up to God personally almost. The hymns are great testimonies, but we have spiritual songs. And Paul's intent, I believe, as God was leading him to write this, was that his goal was that the span of the years, he didn't know how far this would come. When he wrote this and penned this, he didn't know if it was for his generation or if it would go into the next generation. He probably had no idea that you and I would be reading this today. It's been several hundred years. Generations have passed by, and the standard has not changed. We are still to be using these songs of the Spirit for the purpose of hymns and psalms, but also spiritual songs. Now, there's a lot of music today that is sung by the church that I don't know that I would classify as spiritual songs. The Bible, when he created us, created us as a tripartite being, where spirit, soul, and body. Thessalonians talks about that your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified, set apart for God. And it's always in that order when God speaks of our being three different parts, spirit, soul, and body. It's never body, soul, and spirit. It's always spirit, soul, and body, showing the priority of everything. So the spirit is that which we worship God with. Our souls are emotions, correct? Mind, our mind, will, and emotions. And we know the body. And music impacts all three levels, or it should. If it's spiritual music, it should impact all three levels, beginning with the spirit. It should, as we sing these hymns here, it should move our spirit to be lifted up to be with the Lord in praise and worship. But it also should move us, because as I'm singing this song, I Surrender All, it moves me because she is moved. That was when she was driven to the Lord, or brought to the Lord for salvation. So there's that emotional ties that we have. And then there's also the body. And sometimes as we listen to some music, even what we would consider Christian music, it begins with the body first, because the foot will begin to bounce. And there's nothing wrong with bouncing the foot, is there? Tapping the foot, is there? No. But if that's all that music's doing, it hasn't accomplished what God would have it to do as spiritual music. It's just moving me this way. If it gets me stirred up emotionally and, oh, I get all stirred up that way, it still has not served its purpose. It's only when it begins with the spirit that it begins to move me and make my focus go directly to God first, that it's fulfilling what it should do. Because if it's taking care of my spirit, my soul and my body will blend right in with that. Now, David said in Psalm 40, it says that he brought me up. He's talking about God. God brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And it says he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Many shall see it and turn to the Lord. And then he goes on to say that he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I want you to notice what David said. He says that God put a new song in his mouth, not a new sound. There's a lot of Christian music that's a new sound, but not a new song. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And the Bible speaks much about new songs. Psalm 33:3, flip over there just briefly. And I want to keep this short, but I want to share just a couple of these as examples. In Psalm 33, we read in verse number 3, he says, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. So there's the phrase new song in Psalm 33. If you go to Psalm 96, in Psalm 96, in verse number 1, we read, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. So we see that these new songs are going to bless the Lord. They're going to sing about his salvation. Psalm 98, I believe, is what we want. Verse 1, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he had done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And we could go on. I could give you Psalm 144:9, 149:1, Isaiah 42:10, Revelation 5:9. We just read Revelation 14:13. All speak of a new song. There's new songs that are going to be sung. So God is allowing us to see that we can sing the Old Testament Psalms, we can sing today's hymns, but there are also new songs that we will sing in the future, but also that should be being made today as well. Just because a song that is out there isn't in our hymn book doesn't make it a bad song. One of the greatest signs of a strong New Testament church is that they are writing good, godly songs. You take a generation that has no songs that they're writing about the greatness and goodness of God. There's a church age at that point in time, a generation that has really failed. They haven't walked with God. God says there should be new songs being produced. And there's some good music that's out there today that is godly, spiritual songs. And you say, well, I've never heard that one before. Doesn't mean that it's less qualified because you haven't heard it. So we see that God is showing us that there is a great variety. And he makes no hesitation about, again, employing Old Testament models from the hymns. We don't disregard the life-changing, proven hymns. Some people are going away from the hymns. Why? They have such incredible truths in them, and they have been proven over the years. Amen? And he leaves the door open for spiritual songs, new songs, not new sounds, new songs. You know, sometimes when you try to employ new sound, it's very well heard. Remember when, I preached this way back before, I think I was either visiting here or one of my first messages about when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments and he came down and Joshua heard the children of Israel as they were worshiping, you remember, the golden calf though. And they were dancing around the golden calf. They were naked and dancing around it in this worship. And Joshua said, "Oh, listen, listen. I hear the sound of war." He thought it was the sound of war because of the drums and everything. And let me say this so I don't get misunderstood. Did you know that drums are not evil? Y'all know that drums are not bad, right? I mean, you can go to some of the greatest orchestras that have the big old drums that build up. I mean, some of you all, I bet you everybody, who all has CDs? Raise your hand. I'll bet you every one of you have a CD that has drums in it, right? So drums, the Bible says that there's nothing evil of itself. The computer is not evil of itself. It's what we use it for, correct? Your iPhone is not evil of itself. It's what you use it as. And any instrument is not, it's just there. It's how we use it. And so, but here in this case, the drums were being used and the music was raunchy because they were creating a new, sound because there was a new type of worship and it was a golden calf. And Joshua says, "It sounds like war in the camp." And Joshua and Moses, "That's not the sound of war. That's the sound of music." But it was a new sound, not a new song, because their worship had become incorrect. By the way, in that worshiping of the golden calf, they were doing it as to the Lord. We always want to make sure we keep the Lord in it, but we change it. So we see that there is a great variety of songs of the Spirit. Some of the songs of the Spirit touch the heart. Look what he says here in verse 19. Singing and making melody. Look what it says in your heart. In your heart. The goal of this kind of music that is making melody in your heart is to honor the Lord. The music that I'm supposed to be listening to is to be honoring the Lord. And how do I know if it's honoring Him? Because it begins with my spirit. It moves my spirit, goes down into my soul, my emotions. And if my body moves from it, that's the same thing. It may cause me to lift up holy hands. How many of you, I mean, this has happened to me several times. By the way, that was a very good special today. I enjoyed that. Nobody else did, all right? I can see that, all right? The word amen means it's true, okay? That was a really good message in song today, amen. And have you ever been, don't misunderstand me, but when we were pastoring at Fair Park, they were extremely gifted in music, incredible music. I don't think that there was anybody in the Metroplex that was as good. They were second to none. And there would be times when the choir would be singing or the congregation would be singing How Great Thou Art or just one of the great hymns that the Spirit of God would just send chills down you and you just raise your hand up like that in worship. That is the moving of the Spirit through that area of making it go from my voice down into my heart, making melody in my heart to the Lord. And you just want to, it just, the Spirit drives you. But I want to tell you, there was times, because we're going to see that you and I can quench the Spirit, can we not? And there was times that I'd be up here and I would get excited about the songs that were being sung by the congregation. And I wanted to go, "Yes, praise God." And I suppressed it. "No, I don't want to do that because somebody out there is not going to like what I'm doing, raising my hand." I was wrong because I had quenched the Spirit. He was moving and he was trickling into my heart, and my heart was touched. I was singing, making melody in my heart, and that goal of that was to, that music was causing me to want to just rejoice and focus and praise God. And yet we resist that sometimes because we're afraid of what others are thinking or might think. But songs of the Spirit have a great variety, but they are supposed to be touching our heart. And it's ultimately is to honor the Lord. By the way, He deserves our praise, amen? And He deserves our worship. And these songs that we sing many times are calling for dedication. They're calling for service. And when we can sing, we sing it. I surrender all. Did anybody surrender anything today? Or did we just sing a song? Did we really surrender all today? I mean, every one of us has something in our lives as we're singing. And if every word, if we're going to give account for every word we ever say, and we sing, Lord, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. Is it just words that I'm singing? Or does it, you see, because then we are quenching the Spirit, because it's not beginning with the Spirit. It's maybe moved us here, or we're just going through the motions of it through the body. And it's so important that we understand the songs of the Spirit, how powerful they really, really are. John Wesley says this, and I'm going to give you a quote of his, and he uses a word that we don't use today, so I had to actually look it up and read what it meant. But John Wesley says, sing lustily. How many of you use the word lustily lately? The word, when you look it up, means enthusiastically. How many of you understand being enthusiastic as opposed to being lustily, all right? Our words have changed meanings today. And I'm going to use the word enthusiastically because, by the way, the word enthusiasm comes from two words. I can't even think of one of them. In theos, in God, to be rejoicing in God, to be excited about God. And he says here, sing enthusiastically with a good courage. Now listen, beware of singing as if, I don't want to read the rest of this, it might upset some of you. Some of you might become offended. So I'm not going to even read the rest of it, all right? You can ask me later if you're interested. What? Okay. John, you might not like what I'm going to say here. He wrote this on singing. Sing enthusiastically and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep. But lift up your voice with strength. Now, I'll tell you what. I think John Wesley wrote that because I think John Wesley witnessed this way too much. The people of God singing half-heartedly, sleepily, or as if they were dead. It meant nothing to them. Songs of the Spirit also bring harmony in the church. Look what he says here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then it says, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch, I didn't read this one that the last time. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Isn't that interesting that you find Spirit-filled living ends with submission? Submitting ourselves one to another, and everything in between is speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. It speaks of thanksgiving. It speaks of glorifying God from your heart. But it ends with being in submission to each other. Esteeming others better than ourselves. Spiritual songs cultivate several things. Spiritual songs cultivate, number one, thanksgiving. We've kind of made mention of that. It's going to make you more thankful. If it's coming from the Spirit on down into the soul and into the body, if it's just hitting your body or your soul, then you're not going to be thankful. You're just going through the motions. You're becoming what John Wesley warned not to be. But if it's being Spirit-filled, you're going to become extra thankful, not because of what you may be going through. You could be thankful because of good things that are happening, but you're going to be going through some hardships. Some of you are, even this week, have gone through some hardships last week, and yet that should not rob you of being thankful because it should not rob you of your Spirit-filled life. Amen? if every time something goes bad, it makes me where I can't be filled with the Spirit, there's a problem. Nothing should touch me being Spirit-filled other than what I allow to happen. But when I can maintain that Spirit-filled life, no matter what's taking place, there will still be a song in my heart, there will still be praise unto my God, and there will be a sign of thanksgiving and a willingness to submit to each one another, to one another. Spiritual songs flow from Christian love. They begin with the love of the Father, down through the Spirit and the Son into our hearts, and they trickle right on down to each other. We will love one another and we will consider one another, because church unity in music will bring about a submission of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I don't know if this is making sense at all. So the keys to spiritual singing are found in the epistles. Three keys, and they're all found in the epistles. Number one, be filled with the Spirit. How many of you already knew that? Number two, grieve not the Spirit. We can grieve Him. We may be grieving Him right now. And number three, quench not the Spirit. These songs that we sing as we choose and we lift up these songs, they should lift up our spirits as unto the Lord and cause us to want to just praise Him, praise Him. We sing that song, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Oh, it should cause us to really sing and lift up our voices. All of our singing should always, 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 and first most, foremost, honor the Lord. I shared this before. When we were in our second church in New Hampshire, we had a missionary come in from China. He was a national-born missionary, Freddie Sun. And I've shared this before. This is nothing new. But as we were singing as a congregation, he got up there, and he was always so positive. But he asked us, he goes, "What's outside these walls?" Deer. We were up in the mountains. Deer's outside there. And White Mountain National Forest is outside there. He goes, "Do you have secret police outside those walls?" No. We don't have secret police here. We have secret police outside our walls in China. He goes, "When we go into the caves to meet," he goes, "there could be secret police there anywhere. So when we sing," he goes, "we sing very, very quietly." He says, "we sing very quietly because we don't know who's out there that could hear." He goes, "but there's no secret police out here?" And we all said, no. He goes, "why do you sing so quietly?" He goes, "why don't you, if there's nobody out there that you have to worry about, why don't you lift up your voices and sing to the Lord like you never have before?" And it made us stop and think, because we just didn't have the fullness of the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, there's nobody out there getting ready to arrest us yet, is there? Not yet. It may be coming. And we may have to sing quietly, but it's not yet. So when we get ready to sing this next song that Gail has chosen, we ought to lift up our voices and sing in the Spirit. And it may be that you have to say, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit right now." You see, because we can quench Him and we can grieve Him, but we can also ask for Him. Jesus says, "if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give of the Holy Ghost to them that ask?" You know, it's interesting. Some of the times when people come and ask me for counsel, I'll let you know right up front, this guy doesn't know a whole lot of anything. Okay? But when people come up and ask counsel, I've learned over the years to do one thing before I ever open my mouth. "Lord, give me wisdom." And He'll always give me a passage of Scripture or something, because I need His wisdom. How do I get it? By asking Him. If any of you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who gives all men. So I take God at His word. So I say, "Lord, give me wisdom." He gives me a passage of Scripture. I can share that with them. Now He says that if you need the Holy Spirit, if you need to be filled with the Spirit, if you are evil and you can give good gifts to your children, I will give the Holy Spirit to them to ask. So as we get ready to sing this next song, I don't know if Althea can see me or hear me. She needs to come back in here for this next song. Pronto. And then we can stand up and get ready to sing. And if you're not Spirit-filled, and by the way, do y'all think that you could tell if you were Spirit-filled or not? Yeah, I can tell. You can tell by looking at each other if you are or not. But if you're not spirit-filled, all you got to do is say, before you start singing, is just say, Lord, fill me with my spirit, with your Holy Spirit, so that I can lift up my voice and sing in the Spirit.